The sermon is now canceled because that Children's Times said it better than I ever could. God bless. Let's join together in an opening prayer to center us around the scriptures that we're going to hear. Loving God, you are worthy of our worship and praise. We come to experience your presence, to refresh and renew our lives as we gather to sing praise, to hear the word, and to share the bread and the cup at your table of grace. Be with us, touch our hearts, renew our spirits. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament lesson comes from Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning with verse 27. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer cry, the parents have eaten sour grapes, the children's teeth are set on edge, but all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Jacob. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And then a reading from the 18th chapter of Luke, the first 8 verses. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Would you pray with me? Gracious God, you have spoken for thousands of years through those words. We ask that you speak through them today in a way that each of us can understand and apply them to our faith and to our life. For we gather here in the name of the teacher, Jesus. Amen. Well, hills and endless stairs. That's one thing I'll remember about Lisbon, Portugal. City has been described as a city on 7 hills, but our guide assured us that there were many more than that. And we believed him because we were staying on top of one of those hills. So we could look forward to climbing those hills and endless stairs at least once and sometimes several times a day. Now, I do actually mean look forward to, because this trip took me out of my exercise routine and at the same time paraded delicious and fattening food in front of me. So climbing up the hill is what I saw as cross training. It kept me in a good rhythm. You know, climb some stairs, eat a pastry. It's a routine that I repeated many, many times. Well, actually, the ultimate picture of this in my mind comes from another trip, another town that had a lot of up and down hills, endlessly. Sharon and I were resting on the side of one of them, probably eating gelato, and we were passed by a family who were slowly climbing up the street. And a few steps behind them came a young boy, maybe 8 years old. I don't know that I've ever seen such agony on a human face. He was bent over, his knuckles looked close to the cobblestones, clearly not believing that the parents who birthed him and supposedly loved him were making him climb another hill. His expression captured that experience perfectly. I'm fairly certain he survived. But today's Bible lesson reminds us that there are a lot of people climbing a different kind of hill, and their survival is not as certain. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus described terrible hardship, terrible suffering, to people who knew suffering and hardship only too well. They were occupied by the Romans. They were exploited by cruel religious leaders. They were economically challenged every day. And all of this so much worse if you were a woman or a child. It's like having to climb that hill over and over again, an endless uphill battle. But then after all of that bad news, Luke 18 begins like this. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and never lose heart. Now, Pastor Devin has been preaching about different aspects of faith. Today, we talk about persistent faith. Faith that perseveres through the uphill challenges of life. And it's like Jesus is saying, on that endless hill, we make a choice between always praying, persistent faith, or losing heart. Now, losing heart is an interesting expression. In the physical sense, the heart is the engine of the body, and if we lose it, we die. But we know that heart is often used to describe something more. Our spiritual and our emotional center. And tragically, our hearts can be lost in that respect as well. Things can discourage us so much that we lose heart. And that too is death. Death of hope. Death of dreams. Death of spirit. We can lose heart, said Jesus, or we can keep praying. And then he told a story about a desperate widow who asked a judge for justice against an opponent. Now, what we can imagine in that story is that this was a life or death matter. Someone had cheated her or stolen from her, and she needed a fair judgment to survive. Unfortunately, this judge did not fear God or respect people. He refused to respond, but she wouldn't go away. She kept coming back. And the judge thought, I will never be rid of this woman. She was going to wear him out. Now, some language scholars have said that in the language of the Bible, wear me out is connected to the phrase for give a black eye. So this judge, who didn't care about God, didn't care about people, had one thing he did care about, and that was his reputation. It did not look good to have this woman coming back to him constantly, so he gave her the justice that she sought. Now, I've seen people try to read that story maybe too literally and struggle to overapply the images here. If this is about prayer, then the evil judge must represent God. Well, it's more accurate to say that this judge is the opposite of God. And that's the point that Jesus is making. If this woman's persistence worked on a judge that didn't care, think about how our faithfulness and our persistence work with a true God who cares for each of us with a bottomless love, who sent his son Jesus to save us. When we pray, we might not see instant results, but have faith, said Jesus. God is listening, and God will restore hope and justice at the best possible time. I think we need that assurance today. Such was the case for the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, whose words we also read today. He and his fellow citizens were in a hopeless situation. They were removed from their homes. They were living in exile in faraway Babylon. In their external situation, there was no reason to believe that they could ever return home. The obstacles were just too powerful. But Jeremiah wouldn't buy that. And in the words we read today, we heard this phrase three times. The days are surely coming. And then each time describes how God is going to act, is going to bring the exiles home, is going to gather them all around the table again, is going to write his law on every heart. Another prophet, Isaiah, says it this way, God is going to push down all the hills and level all the ground. No more uphill battle. And there's no room for doubt. Those days are surely coming. Persistent faith. I felt like saying to that poor 8-year-old climbing the street there, don't lose heart. You'll make it. We too can feel like we're in an uphill climb. This is a rough moment for our country. The government is shut down. Military force is activated in our streets. Country hopelessly divided. Economic worries. It's easy to lose heart. Easy to feel hopeless if we don't keep praying on our knees and on our feet, if we don't keep believing. It is exactly the choice that Jesus put in front of us. And the same thing is true about our personal struggles with health issues, with job problems, with relationships, and disappointments. Those things can seem so powerful against us. Some of you may be looking at scary hills, even this morning. Keep praying, says Jesus. Never lose heart. God is with you. The better day is surely coming. Now, I know what you're thinking. We get almost through a whole sermon, and you have not learned a single new Latin word. You were thinking that, right? Well, worry not. I'm about to fix that. Some people say that Latin is a dead language, meaning that there's no country or no territory that calls it their language. But the truth is, we're speaking Latin all the time. For example, here's a Latin word, sistere, which means to stand. Now, big deal, you may say, but in fact, you use that word. For example, when someone attacks you and knocks you down, threatens you, you may say, well, it may knock me down for a while, but I'm going to stand again. And the prefix for stand is R-E, and so we say we're going to resist. Stand again. One of the baptism vows that United Methodists make is answering, do you promise to resist evil in whatever form it presents itself? And you are saying, yes, it may knock me back, but I'm going to stand again. I'm going to resist. Well, we're also aware that sometimes the problem is inside us, that we contribute to the evil in the world by our misguided attitudes and actions. The Bible calls those our sins. In Latin, there is a prefix de, which means away from. So we say we are going to desist. We're going to stand away from the prejudice and the envy and the self-righteousness and the unkindness that sometimes arises within us and cause harm. We desist from those things. Now, other times, we're going to stand up for what we believe in, but we find opposition from those who would rather keep things the way they are or continue unjust treatment of other peoples or relish wrong ideas or wrong directions. In those cases, we say, I'm not going to back off from what is right. I'm going to keep on standing in for what is right, meaning that we're going to insist on the dignified treatment of others and the other just causes that we have to fight for. These evil things must change. In the name of God, we insist. So we're going to resist. Stand against evil. We're going to desist, stop the evil within ourselves. We're going to insist, standing strong for good in the world. We can do all of these things because we are invited by Jesus to persist. Stand through anything. And the prefix for through is per. We're going to persist because we're going to pray constantly. We're seeing it through because, as the old hymn says, we're standing on the promises of God. So we will resist. We will desist. We will insist. We will persist. One of the great sayings of persistent faith is in the Bible. It's when the Apostle Paul considered all of the hard challenges in his life, and he wrote these timeless words, I am sure of this. There is nothing in death or in life. There is no power. There is nothing in the future that can happen. There is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Martin Luther wrote it in a hymn. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. It may seem sometime like wickedness is winning the battle, but don't be fooled. Through our persistent faith, God wins. And the day will surely come. The day will surely come when God's word will be written on every heart, and we shall all know him. We're Easter people. We believe that God can save us and will save us. And so we persist. And so we pray. And so we stand up. And so we do not lose heart. Amen. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we stand with you, we stand before you, and we stand on your promises. So help us to follow the invitation of Jesus to persist in our faith. We believe that you are always with us. Amen. We'll continue in prayer, and Pastor Barbara is going to lead us.
I'm going to do something a little different this morning. Probably you've done it once before, but I think it's kind of a good thing, especially after Everett's message this morning about persisting, but knowing also, too, that there are times in our lives that we have to continue to persist and everything resist and so on and forth, or just to stand. So I'm going to ask you all, what are your joys and concerns today? Do you have joys? If so, tell them. If you don't, what are your concerns? Think about those as we go to the Lord in prayer. Listening, God. All praise, honor, and glory to you, Father, giver of life, Son, Savior, giver of eternal life, Holy Spirit, flow of life. We gather today, bowing our heads in prayer and gratitude, thanking you for this beautiful day, lifting our hearts also in gratitude and praise for the gift of your presence and the gift of this church service. A time to come together as community of faith. We acknowledge your sovereignty and the countless blessings you bestow upon us each and every day. May our worship be a sweet offering to you, filled with thanksgiving for your unending love, your faithfulness, your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace, and the peace that passes all understanding. We humbly ask for your presence to guide us throughout this day and this week in all circumstances, to be present with us. We give you praise and thanks for your constant companionship. Listening and loving God, we pray, moving our focus beyond ourselves to pray and uplift others, to pray for our community, other churches, for those in need, for those who have trouble making ends meet, for those who are out of work or on furlough with the government shutdown, for those with health issues, for our church leaders and leaders of other churches, and the leader of our state, our nation, and our world. Lord, the psalmist reminds us and asks us, why are our souls so downcast? Why are we so disturbed within us? Listening, God, may our hearts be inclined to you and to lean on you and put our whole trust and hope in you. Father God, we praise you as our Savior and as our God. We pray and seek to do thy good will. And out of your glorious riches, God, and your good will, may you strengthen us according to your riches, your power, through the Holy Spirit in our inner being. so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we may comprehend with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of you through Christ our Lord, and the love of the Father, that we may be filled with all the fullness of you, our Lord and our God. And now to him who is able to do above and beyond all we ask or imagine, according to the holy power that is at work within us, to God be all glory, honor, and praise forever and ever. Amen.